Sometimes unbelievers have accused Christians of promising people pie in the sky. But what's really so bad about having pie in the sky? What they don't realize is that as Christians, as we walk in fellowship with our Savior here on earth, we are receiving the fulfillment of the promise, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so we're having our daily meat and potatoes and vegetable and salad all through this life, and when we're finished, why, pie in the sky is face to face with the Lord Jesus. And so they're forgetting all the blessings that God pours out upon His people. When we leave this life, we enjoy that glorious culmination of our faith as we see our Savior face to face. And so we might say the dessert is to be with Jesus. And so we would agree with them. And that's our glorious anticipation. Here in 1 Peter, as we've been studying the first epistle of Peter, you remember at first we saw salvation summarized. And then we see that the next section deals with salvation applied. Last week we saw the first aspect of salvation applied in dealing with our present position in Jesus Christ. This week we'd like to look at verses 4 and 5 and see there how Peter sets forth our future possession. Following up our present position, we will enjoy our future possession, a glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ. Let's start with verse 3 again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Father, we thank You for the glorious anticipation that we have, that promised inheritance in our Savior. Pray that this morning as we look at this glorious promise that You've made to us, that our hearts might be encouraged and helped to rejoice in all of Your goodness. We pray, should there be one in our midst who does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, who has not been begotten again unto a living hope, that this morning would be the time when they would cry out, "Oh God, I need to be saved." That they also, Father, might have this blessed anticipation of this inheritance in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Salvation applied. Second part, our future possession, the glorious inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus. We'd like to note three things about this inheritance. The first thing is the nature. The nature of our inheritance in Jesus Christ. And Peter says here, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away." I think the first thing about this inheritance is the very nature of the word itself. An inheritance is something that basically is undeserved. An inheritance is not by merit, but by relationship. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of God, born into His family, sons of God. And that's the basis of our inheritance. We inherit what belongs to our Father because we are members of His family. And so we are brought into His family. And in Romans 8:17, we read that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so this inheritance is because of our relationship. So we have a glorious picture here. Summing up from last week and this week, for example, supposing there were a judge and the man before him had embezzled funds and lost his reputation for that reason, and the judge then forgives him the embezzlement, and so then he's free. He doesn't owe anything. But then the judge also gives him his reputation so that he can go out and get a job, just as if you were accepting a Judge Smith as an employee. And then on top of that, he makes him his son so that he becomes the heir of all the judge's possessions. What a glorious situation to pass from condemned criminal to heir of all the judge's possessions. And this is the picture we have here. We begin as enemies of God with that debt of sin upon us and experience then through faith in Jesus Christ justification, just as if I'd never sinned. But not only that, not only just as if I'd never sinned because of the death of Jesus, but just as if I'd always obeyed because of the life of Jesus. He lived a perfect life. And that righteousness then also becomes ours. And then to top it off, made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, being brought into his family so that we share all his riches throughout eternity. And so the nature of our inheritance, first of all, it is an undeserved inheritance. Secondly, it is an everlasting inheritance. And Peter here gives us three words that stress the everlasting nature of this inheritance. First of all, it is incorruptible. The same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 15:52, where Paul says, "The dead shall be raised incorruptible." The reason we die is because of corruption. Corruption has entered into the human race and entered into our bodies. And we die because of corruption that entered in through sin. These impurities in our body bring it to destruction. And this is a picture of the same destruction that comes to our souls because of sin. And we see here that this inheritance is incorruptible and for that reason would be everlasting. Sometimes as you're walking out in the woods or in a park area, you'll see a little pond of water. And quite commonly, that little pond of water will have some green matter along the edge. And we know what that is, the scum that is formed there, the algae that is formed because of stagnant water. The water had impurities, and being stagnant, it fomented the growth of those impurities. That's why you buy distilled or purified water in a jug, and it can sit on the store shelf for a long time, and it's still fine, because it's had the impurities taken out, and it keeps. One thing we've discovered as we began using distilled water for Norma's special needs, she drinks tea, and I drink tea once in a while, but not very often, and so she'll fix a whole pot of tea, and then sometimes the next day she'll think, well, I'll have a cup of tea, I still have a cup left in here, and she'd pour out that cup of tea, and by that time, it had gotten muddy, all cloudy, and not very appetizing. Well, we found out since we've been using distilled water that that tea could be in that teapot for 2 or 3 days, and you pour it out, and it's just as clear as the day you made it. It would look like fresh-made tea because we had taken the impurities out of the water. And so when you take out the impurities, things are preserved. They don't deteriorate. And that's why everything that's of God is forever. This eternal life is forever because there are no impurities. All the impurities are gone. And so it is incorruptible. The impurities are all gone. And not only is it incorruptible, but it's undefiled. It is undefiled or uncontaminated. And the same statement made of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 7:26. Our high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled. There are no seeds of disintegration in him, and for that reason, eternal. And thirdly, unfading, another reference to it being perpetual. James 1:11, speaking of the rich man, says, so also shall the rich man fade away. But this inheritance will not fade away. It is perpetual. As Norma and I were talking about this inheritance, she said, well, that's fine, but what is it? I said, well, Peter here doesn't say what it is. Well, if this is an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and everlasting, I'd kind of like to know what it is. And so I said, well, I'm going to have to start looking into that. What is this inheritance? I don't think it's totally summed up in rewards. For example, the Christian will receive rewards for service. that's not really inheritance. Crowns for faithfulness, that's really not inheritance either. Treasure stored up by giving, Jesus says, store up in heaven, that your heart will be in heaven too. Store up in heaven where moth and rust don't get in and eat it up and destroy it. But is that really inheritance? And I discovered that the whole idea of wills, for example, came from the Greek and Roman culture because the Hebrews didn't know what a will was. They didn't have wills. And the reason they didn't need wills was because it was simply a standard practice that the inheritance was divided amongst the sons. All of the sons shared equally in the inheritance except the firstborn son, and he received a double portion because it was his responsibility to take care of the mother and any unwed sisters. And so he received a double portion because he had an extra responsibility. And so when it came time for inheritance, there was no need of a will. It automatically was divided amongst the sons. And so a will was not necessary. That meant that the inheritance did not demonstrate favor. The inheritance was a right. It was a right of that son. And no will, therefore, was needed. And so that means that God's principle is that because we are his sons, we receive an inheritance because it's our right in him, being his sons. When he made us sons, it gave us that right to an inheritance. But I thought, well, we're not Israelites, but we are priests. Peter tells us later on in his epistle that we are a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests. Then I remembered that in the Old Testament that the priests had a special inheritance. In Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20, Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20, we read, "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel.'" Isn't that great? God says to Aaron, to the priests, said, "You're not going to get an inheritance among them because I'm your inheritance." And I thought, this is the inheritance that we have. What is our inheritance? It's God. It's God himself. And that's exciting because we all know of situations and have read of situations of men who have been out there trying to make a fortune. And they gave themselves to amassing a fortune. And their children had everything that money could buy. And their children would have given everything they had if they just could have gotten a little of Dad's time. They didn't care about those things. They wanted their dad. And if he could have given them some of his time, they wouldn't have cared if they had all those toys or not. And so the glorious thing about our inheritance isn't that God has provided streets of gold and a big mansion and things like that, and he's going to be off someplace doing something else. You know, heaven is where God is. Heaven is God. And he is our inheritance. And that means when we get there, we're going to get some of him. Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be, you know, heaven wouldn't be any fun at all if we never had any time with God. And so we're going to have him. He says, "I'm your inheritance." Now, in him we get everything else too. But the exciting thing is, he says, "When you get to heaven, I'm going to have time for you." Isn't that thrilling? That's our inheritance. That's the inheritance that he has for his people. God himself is the undeserved, unending inheritance of the person who has become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The nature of our inheritance. Secondly, the security of our inheritance. Peter says, this inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. A few weeks ago, we went to a restaurant for supper, and I thought ahead of time, well, I wonder if they take reservations. So I called, and yes, they take reservations, so I made a reservation. And as Norm and I arrived at that restaurant and walked in the door, it was packed. That front part of that restaurant was just, it was so full of people, we could hardly squeeze our way through. We finally squeezed our way through all that mob of people to where the hostess was standing. And we said, we have a reservation for two at 6 o'clock. And it was 6 o'clock. And she said, oh, yes. She says, here's your table. And it was right there near the entrance. And we felt so embarrassed walking right in and sitting down at this table with all this mob of people, who knows how long they've been standing there. But we had a reservation. And Peter says, this inheritance is reserved. It's reserved in heaven for you. John chapter 2. You remember where Jesus turned the water into wine, and then the head of the feast said, thou hast kept the good wine until now. It was reserved. And God says, this inheritance that I have for you is reserved. And the word there is in the perfect tense. You remember what the perfect tense is? Perfect tense means an action that's completed in past time and the effects continue into present time. And so God says, this reservation has been made in your name for you, and it is continuing to be reserved. This inheritance is secure because it is reserved. And it's reserved in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. This is reserved for you. Praise God. The security of our inheritance that He has for us. But then I got to thinking. I called ahead and made that reservation. We got there and walked in and sat down. And so we enjoyed that meal. But what, and the reservation was made, the meal was reserved for us. But what if we hadn't gotten there? What if we'd had car trouble and couldn't get the car started and we didn't make it and we'd have missed the meal and missed the reservation? God says, I've got that plan too. Not only is this inheritance reserved in heaven for you, but you are kept by the power of God. In other words, not only that inheritance is reserved for you, but He's going to make sure you get there. You are kept by the power of God. What good would it do to have an inheritance if you never got there to receive it? He says you are kept. And the word there is kind of a military word. It means to protect by a military guard. It's used, for example, in 2 Corinthians 11:32, where Paul was in the city of Damascus and the governor wanted to take Paul prisoner. And so we're told that the governor was guarding the city. In other words, he had troops all around that city trying to take Paul prisoner. He was guarding that city. The same word is used in Philippians 4:7, where we are told that the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the idea there is to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus like a garrison round about us. And so just as the Roman soldiers made sure that Paul got to Rome, so God makes sure that His elect get to heaven to receive their inheritance. Because not only is that inheritance reserved for us, but we are kept by His power to get there. And so we are reserved as well. We are kept. We are kept by the power of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, we are told what the great, exceeding greatness of His power is to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. In other words, just as nothing could keep Christ in the grave, so also nothing can keep the saint of God from the inheritance that is reserved for him. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So we are kept by His power, and we are kept through faith. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that faith is the gift of God. It's our divine enablement to respond to God. In Jeremiah, God says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40, "I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me." Clear statement of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. 1 John 4:9, we love Him. There we have that definite response. Because He first loved us, there we have God's motivating power. And so we are kept by His power through faith unto salvation. And so this present possession leads to our future goal. Our inheritance is kept for us, and we are kept for it. And then thirdly, we have the availability of our inheritance. The nature, it's undeserved and everlasting. The security, it's reserved for us, and we're reserved for it. The availability of our inheritance. Peter says, it's ready. It's ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, it's not as if God's working on a deadline and He's not done yet, and you get there and He says, "Well, I'm sorry, but it's not quite ready." He says, "No, it's ready now." 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, "Be ready always to give an answer to those who ask a reason of the hope that's in you." Same word here. God says, your inheritance is ready now. It's ready to be revealed. And I get the picture of perhaps a monument that has been constructed, maybe a statue that's been carefully worked on, and then afterwards it's covered up with a huge piece of cloth, a canvas, until that day when it will be unveiled. What a glorious day. Here, all that work, and now that marvelous work of art is being unveiled. And that's the picture here. Ready to be revealed or unveiled in that day, or in the last day, in the last time. John 12:48, Jesus says, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." And so in that last day also, this inheritance will be revealed. It's ready now to be revealed then. And we don't know when that will be. We don't know what day that will be. But we do know that our inheritance is waiting for us, and we are waiting for it. Now we look at this and we say, well, that's too good to be true. This kind of a glorious, everlasting inheritance, I can see that for maybe Peter. You know, he was an outstanding apostle. Or maybe for Paul. Sure, the apostle Paul, yes. An outstanding inheritance waiting for him in heaven. I can see that. But for me? An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away? For me? Well, Peter wrote this to the scattered pilgrims. And he tells them that there is this inheritance waiting for you. Every one of those scattered pilgrims whose faith was in Jesus Christ and heaven was their home, and this inheritance was waiting for them. One day when the famous preacher Andrew Bonar was visiting the United States, he spoke in many meetings, and afterwards they had a grand farewell for him as he was going back to England. And at this farewell, they had men that were in charge of saying a few words of of farewell. And this one man, just in closing, got up and summed it up of their great appreciation for Andrew Bonar's coming to teach the Word of God to them. And they appreciated so much the instruction that they had received. And so this man, in ecstasy and of appreciation, said, "Just think of the crown of righteousness which is laid up for Andrew Bonar, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give him in that day." Then Andrew Bonar got up, went up to the pulpit, stretched out his hands to heaven, and completed the verse, saying, "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Praise God. This inheritance is for all them who love his appearing. And so this morning, are you saved? Have you been born again through repentance of your sins and faith in Jesus Christ? Have you been made a member of the family of God? Are you a child of God through faith in Christ? Do you know that you're saved? And as a child of God, recognizing that because of your relationship to Him, you have an inheritance that's waiting. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you long for His appearing? The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, this inheritance for all those who love His appearing. There is then reserved in heaven for you an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that will never is that we'll have you, and that you will be there, and you will be our portion, and you won't be too busy for us. We'll be able to enjoy you. And just as we desire now to fulfill the basic purpose for which you made us, to enjoy you, that we will then be able to enjoy you forever, because the Lord is the inheritance of His people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.